schedules are live. We are live. Weeks 1 through 3 are so huge in the football card market because every single year, Steve, for the past 4 seasons that I've been covering football cards, and I think you've been covering the past 2 seasons, maybe 3 seasons with me, every single year, the player and the teams that get off to these hot 3-0 starts always go up in value. So we're here to break it down. I'm your host, Andy Kaysen, back on the Football Card Quest with my main man, Steve, the eBay hitman, Caladesi. We're going to be breaking down these schedules that just dropped and looking at the football card implications. Guys, we got our top 10, maybe more, takeaways of these early season schedules here.
Heck yeah, man. You know, a lot of people love to use these schedules as a format or guideline for drafting best ball sheets on Underdog Fantasy. I think that is a good strategy. It's not the only strategy, but there's definitely a viability to it. So we may have to do that when we go into the second stream tonight, Andy, pull up that list and try to hammer out some sheet correlations. But while we're talking first 3 weeks, Andy, what's a team that first 3 weeks really jumped off the page to you? I know the Dolphins might have been maybe one of the best ones.
Yeah, let me go ahead and pull up my screen here, Steve, show you what I've put together. It's just basically I like to have everything right in front of me, so I got weeks 1, 2, and 3 on the same screen. Shout out to Gabe Davis hanging out in the chat, man, here to see us Caspers. Steve, you have a better – you look like you have a better complexion than I do right now. But the lighting, Gabe is commenting on my pale complexion. And Philly says, the Eagles play in Tampa again. That's rigged. I'm glad that they rig it that way. I'd much rather be in Tampa than in Philly. But my first takeaway, Steve, right off the bat, is the Miami Dolphins here. As you can see, they open the season with 4 of their first 5 game against teams that didn't make the playoffs last year. Also, 3 of those first 4 games are at home. So when you look at the Miami Dolphins, they play at home against Jacksonville week 1, and then week 2, come over here, and they have a home game against Buffalo, which we we saw what they did to Buffalo last year, actually the past 2 years at home in this Florida Southeast heat. Buffalo got quite drained out there, and a few players almost had heat exhaustion. And then you come over here to week 3, and we got the Dolphins at Seattle. That's a pretty cushy matchup here. I think we might be going back to the Tua well, Steve. What do you think?
I've been going back to that well, man. His prices are friendly at the moment, especially compared to the other 2020 QBs, especially compared to the, 2023 QB at the moment in Stroud. But, yeah, we always talk about looking back instead of forward while everyone's buying up this year's guys. You know, that's when you should be selling them and buying up QBs that are, you know, from a draft class past or 2, 3 past as well. So I am going to that well.
Yeah, you know, we've gone to it before. I don't know why Tua's cards are so cheap this year. I mean, I guess it's because people are scared of him getting injured, or he's going to retire if he gets another concussion, or people are just afraid that this offensive line has regressed here in the offseason because they had to let a few guys walk. But right now, his raw rookie ticket autos are selling for an average of $300. His true silver prism rookie auto PSA 10, $1,000, but you can find that card raw $250. And if you compare that to Jalen Hurts, I mean, that's a $700 card. Even Jordan Love now, that's a $750 card. And obviously Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert, that's going to be closer to a $1,500 card, you know? So, I mean, just the price discount you're getting on Tua right now. And even if I go over to a market for Tua, like the raw That's only a $35 card right now, raw. And his true silver prism non-auto rookie raw is $100. Just very, very cheap compared to all these other 2020 quarterbacks. And, I mean, they still have got all the weapons. They even added Jalen Wright, who has a ton more speed. I mean, they had the fastest schedule release video. I don't know if you saw that, but it was 10 seconds long to kind of pay homage to all the speed they have on their team. So I think that, you know, I think the Miami Dolphins are set up here for success, and I think it makes sense to buy Tua and stack them. Maybe not with Tyreek, because Tyreek's pretty expensive when it comes to the wide receiver market. But what do you think about, you know, Jalen Waddle? Certainly the rookie Jalen Wright would be interesting just because he's a rookie and he could break off a couple big plays like we saw with A-Chain last year. And A-Chain had those spikes in value. Steve, how does that sound?
You know, anytime you get a QB whose value goes down, typically the receivers that are tied to them, their value will go down naturally because of the lack of production. And you saw that with Waddle. You saw that with any of the Bengals receivers last year as well. So an opportunity to buy them, an opportunity to buy Justin Jefferson as well. These guys all fit into this same buy category. I would definitely not just be buying Tua because his price is down, but I think that ultimately what people are waiting to see is him get that contract, Andy. You know, if the team instills in it, and maybe it won't be the Dolphins, it probably will be, but when the team installs that confidence in signing him for 5, 6, 7 years plus, then the hobby, I think, will follow.
Interesting. Yeah, that would be a big, big boon to his market. I mean, that would definitely show like long-term security and stability for Tua. So, yeah, that makes sense, actually. That makes a lot of sense, Steve. Is there another team on here that jumps out? Let's go to number two here for you out of these first 3 weeks.
Well, I'll say this. One game that I think is pretty interesting is who's another QB, Andy, that just did actually get a contract? Mr. Jared Goff. And just by sure coincidence, I'm sure, playing his former team in the Rams week one. So that's going to be pretty interesting. And then week two, a team that you're pretty familiar with, Tampa Bay.
Yeah, look at that. Tampa at Detroit, which they destroyed us last year. That was in Tampa, too. That was an away game. They destroyed us. They are definitely a superior team on paper. and then in week three, they go to Arizona. So I actually love this, Steve, this play here for Detroit. And I look at the guy on Detroit, to me, that has the cheapest rookie cards, but also the largest opportunity share that I think everybody's sleeping on. It's your guy, man. It's your guy from Chicago. We've made money on him before. I made some good money on him before. And that's David Montgomery. And he's like the cheapest guy on this team. I know Jared Goff's got opportunity in the market. I know his values have gone up. Like they're like neck and neck, a lot of cases higher than Dak Prescott. But I look at David Montgomery and how much cheaper he is compared to Jahmyr Gibbs and Amon-Ra St. Brown. I'm like, okay, well, there's a play there on David Montgomery for sure. And there's also a play there on Jameson Williams.
Yeah, and it's not just from a trading card standpoint. When you look at if you've done a lot of best ball rankings or drafts, you'll see that you're paying end of first round value for Gibbs, who at least last year had similar fantasy scoring, Andy, as Montgomery. And Montgomery actually would have finished in the top five running backs had he not missed 3 weeks.
Yeah, he really would have. I mean, he put up 13 touchdowns and he missed 3 weeks.
I know they said that they're going to, increase Gibbs' workload, but, they did pay Montgomery, and they paid him a good amount of money. So if you think that they're just going to relegate him to a backup role, that's not going to happen.
Well, and look at last year in the playoffs. They increased David Montgomery's workload throughout the playoffs. Like, they relied on him more. So when they're in these primetime clutch situations, David Montgomery is definitely percent of the opportunity share. And he's got an all-purpose skill set. So he's going to rack up quite a few touchdowns. You look at Raheem Mostert last year for Miami. Speaking of Miami, his cards went up dramatically because of all the touchdowns he put up. Stayed healthy, put up the touchdowns. David Montgomery stays healthy, puts up the touchdowns. Cards go up, especially when you have an early season schedule like this. I mean, it's just the island games themselves, Steve, have huge implications for the football card market. You look at Sunday Night Football. Everybody's watching that one game, and then Sunday Night Football is going to be on a mainstream broadcast channel like NBC. I know they've got some games this year, like this Friday night games on Peacock exclusively, you know, and then you got Amazon. I heard some NFL fans a little bit disgruntled about that. Actually, this is a good question I want to ask you, Steve. You know, there's going to be, I think, five different potential streaming platforms this year that you're going to have to subscribe to get all, to watch every single game. How does that impact, do you think, the potential viewership for these games? Do you think that's going to have a ripple effect on cards at all?
It may impact viewership, and I don't know if that's a lasting thing. Ultimately, from what we've seen, people will cave. There was a lot of blowback with like the Amazon Prime when that first happened on the Thursday night games, and you know, everyone ended up getting Prime, and you know, where you may have some crossover where you have it on a platform that's like, oh, well, you can only get it if you have this streaming service or if you have this cable service, then you might be screwed. But for example, here in Chicago, we have the Marquee Sports Network, and that is the only way to watch the Chicago Cubs play. However, if you don't have Xfinity Cable, you can't watch that channel. So if you have Hulu, if you have any of these other online cable services, you just can't watch it. So there's going to come a point where you just won't be able to watch games. And yeah, it's ultimately going to have a trickle down across the entire NFL, not just the hobby. But I think in the interim, it may not be that bad.
Okay. Well, that's good. I like that. I like that take, man. Yeah, I mean, people are going to watch it, right? They're going to figure out a way, especially the younger folks. They're going to figure out a way, even if you have to sign up for like a trial subscription and cancel it just to, you know, to get that game or whatever. I definitely plan on probably doing that. Or, you know, I see CH here in the chat. He's got a website and links. And yeah, I know you just got to fight through the ads and stuff. And there's ways to piggyback off of other services to watch your games. So,
like Gabe says, yeah.
What did Gabe say?
Use a friend's account.
There you go, man. They're starting to put more lockdown on like location.
True.
You know, they're making you, they're asking you, oh, we recognize you're at a different GPS location, you know, kind of like the location services you got to have on for Underdog. You got to have it on for almost everything, like Netflix, and they're cracking down on that stuff. But
there's actually, I'd say, a couple of teams that look really good going through the first 3 weeks. And not all of them are going to be like clean sweep, easy 3-0s. But I will say Green Bay, even though they're playing Philly week one, that will be a close game that they can win. But if you look at their other two games, it looks good. It looks good. That's a very possible 3-0 start there.
I actually love the Friday night football game because it's an island game, week one. Last year, Philadelphia had one of the worst defensive secondaries in the league, right? And it was an aging unit. James Bradbury got banged up and was bad down the stretch. Darius Slay's getting old. I mean, these guys are getting old in the secondary. I know that they've drafted a couple prospects. They've spent significant drafts capital this offseason in defensive secondary. They had to. It was the biggest weakness of their defense. But with the heat that Green Bay is packing and the kind of the momentum that they're riding off of last season, I feel that this Green Bay at Philly game could absolutely turn into a shootout. out of the Baltimore and KC. I feel like Baltimore KC could start off kind of slow, be a little bit more back and forth defensive battle. There's going to be points put up, don't get me wrong, but not like what I think Green Bay and Philly could be a 60 to 70 point game. You feel me? Where I think KC Baltimore is more like a 21-14 game, you know, more like a 40, 44 point over under. And this Green Bay at Philly is exciting. Friday night football is actually the official end of the week there. And then for Green Bay, the next week to host Indianapolis at home and then go to Tennessee in week three, we could be looking at a big 3-0 hot start here for Green Bay, which would be Jordan Love cards, because they've already got a lot of heat coming off of last season. He's got a lot of hype. There's a lot of people chasing him. They've to that of Jalen Hurts or more now. Like, if you look at it, Steve, I think Jordan Love cards are right behind now Herbert and Burrow, ahead of Hurts in a lot of cases.
I agree. I thought that he should have had MVP consideration last year. And, you know, I don't know if they just got it going too late, but did not get the credit deserved. And glad to see that they'll have, you know, maybe an opportunity to start out and show the rest of the NFL that they're not playing games.
So that's Miami. That's Detroit. That's Green Bay. Those are our top three. I'll give you one that I like here, and that is the Chargers. I see CH is talking about them here in the chat, but I think the Chargers have a great shot to get off to a hot start here. Looking at this schedule, look, at home against the Raiders, so you got a division matchup here for the Chargers at home, and then they go to at Carolina, who had the worst record in football last year, and then week three, they go at Pittsburgh, which is never an easy matchup in Pittsburgh, but they're not. Pittsburgh is not exactly a top ranked team either. There's a lot of ambiguity there around how good they can be. So I like the matchups here for the first 3 weeks for the Chargers. I could actually see a scenario where they get off to a really hot start, and with new head coach Jim Harbaugh, I think Ladd McConkey, the rookie there. Obviously, Justin Herbert prices would go up, and I think a guy like Ladd McConkey, who's going to be their wide receiver one, regardless of what the GM thinks about Quentin Johnson, you saw that that excerpt. I'm like, why am I reading this right now? Like, this doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, he would need to take a pretty big step forward to, fill that void left by everyone that got burned by him, but. The reality is, you know, not every guy, especially receivers, tight ends, they don't enter the league as the best player they're going to be necessarily. Not to say that he will 100% get better, but there's been an awful lot of talk about him stepping up and proving yada, yada, yada. So we'll see what happens. I still think that, the maybe he might end up as like the wide receiver three at this point. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, speaking of wide receivers, talk about Kansas City here for a second. Zay Jones did not sign with Kansas City, Steve.
No.
He signed with the Arizona Cardinals, who've got a really tough opening schedule here. So I'm now fading the Cardinals. The only guy that I wouldn't fade if I could get him at value is Marvin Harrison Jr. because he's a rookie. But I am going to fade Kyler Murray. I'm going to fade anybody else on Arizona for the time being. Well, maybe besides any of the rookie, Marvin Harrison Jr., Trey Benson, that kind of thing. But Kyler Murray, absolutely fading because the quarterback's performance in the sports card market is closely tied to the win-loss record out of the gate here. So I look at this schedule for Arizona at Buffalo, at home against the Rams, and then in week three – excuse me, Steve. They're at home against Detroit, which we talked about as a plus matchup for Detroit. So I don't like Kyler Murray's odds in the beginning of the season to go up in value.
Yeah, they would have to upset the Lions and maybe roll out 2-1. You know, and not to say that that's impossible. I mean, obviously last year that would have not even been a consideration, but I think we'll get a better idea of who they are after, you know, weeks one and two. But I think it's a 1-2 start is most likely.
Steve, I'll give you my next team if you want me to.
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right. I think a sneaky team to bet on here to have an early season breakout is the Seattle Seahawks. At home, here, 4 o'clock game on Sunday, week one against Denver. And then week two, you got them going to New England with a rookie against a rookie quarterback and new coaching and everything. 1 o'clock game there in New England. And then week three, we got them playing at home against Miami. So week three, yeah, is a tough matchup, but Seattle playing at home against Miami is a big difference from them going to Miami, as we just talked about with Buffalo going to Miami. So I like the odds here of Seattle potentially starting off 3-0. And I get that Geno Smith is the locked in starter there, but I wonder if it makes sense at all to have some exposure to Sam Howell. Added about like Kenneth Walker, I think is a great running back at value right now, being drafted as like an RB22. I'd have to go pull up his current rookie card value, Steve. But what do you think about that?
I'm a big Kenneth Walker guy, man. He did have a couple of injuries that cost him a little time last year, and he still put up close to 200 fantasy points. And you can get him, in my opinion, at a massive, massive discount in these best ball drafts. So that's a guy that I have a huge ownership in. And also I've been trying to buy some of my favorite Kenneth Walker cards, and that's the XRC, Andy.
Ooh, XRC. So – actually, tell everybody about the XRC for a second, because I think this is an underrated card, maybe a misunderstood card. I definitely think the XRC has huge potential in the hobby.
Yeah, so the XRC is actually pulled from Select, and it's actually pulled from, I guess you could say, the previous year's set. So, for example, I was looking at a Josh Jacobs earlier. Josh Jacobs' XRC would have come from the 2018 Select product in the form of a redemption. And basically you get whatever they say the QB, let's say one is, for example. So if you pulled one from last year's Select and it was the QB1, you know that would be Caleb Williams this year.
So, for example, Kenneth Walker's Select XRC is from 2021 Select, even though he's a 2022 rookie.
Right. So it's actually interesting because it's technically, obviously the card is not in hand, but it is technically the first true rookie card for a player because technically you would be able to get that redemption before the card even comes out.
Do you think this plays a pretty big role in why they release Select so late? You know, like, I mean, we haven't even seen 2023 Select yet.
Yeah, I feel like every year they're running further and further behind on this release schedule. And maybe this year it has something to do with the whole issue with Fanatics versus Panini and all that stuff. Because, Andy, for a while it did seem like we might have seen the last – Panini set for football, but now it looks like we probably have like 1 to 2 more years of that. But latest XRC is not redemptions, correct? That actually might be true, what Hector said. I actually think that this past year, I do believe XRCs could be pulled.
Can you, what was that? What was the question? Latest XRCs, not redemptions, correct?
I think that's true of last year's XRC, but prior to that wasn't the case.
Yeah, which I like the fact that they're not redemptions. So if the one consolation prize you get from a late release of Select is the fact that XRCs are not redemptions. I mean, I'm okay with it because I'm not really targeting Select retail boxes, Select hobby boxes. I'm not even really targeting most of the singles out of Select anymore. to be honest with you, Steve, after looking at how the values have dropped just because they've diluted the brand with, you know, the, taking the product retail. But knowing that XRCs are super short print, insert, also a lot of hobbyists consider as a true rookie card. If Hector says it, then it's got to be correct. I mean, Steve says it, Hector says it. I've heard multiple other guys say that as well. So, you know, it's one of those things, like, that's the primary card for me out of select I'm looking for.
And honestly, even the base XRC is just a beautiful card on its own. It holds value. It's got a lot of transactions. And now you have, you know, serial numbered versions like the tie-dye. Although I think this past season, they may have went further into that. I think that 25 and 10 used to be the only serial number denominations. I think there's actually more now, I believe.
Yeah, there's a couple more. You know what's interesting? Like, if you look at this tie-dye here of Josh Jacobs, that is numbered out of 25, PSA 9. Close for $23. Or not, excuse me, sorry, 73. I was at the same time simultaneously thinking about this Kenneth Walker Select XRC Silver. These were, like, in the rookie year, Steve, these were selling for like $100 a pop. But this card's here, sitting here, buy it now for $25. Is there some raw XRCs? Because otherwise, I feel like this is a decent value. Or could it be that Kenneth Walker, like Breece Hall, has so many different rookie cards that the focus has shifted and consolidated, like, kind of landed more on the rookie auto type tier for him? And because this card doesn't have a rookie autograph or a serial number, it is misunderstood and not, therefore not quite demanded as much.
Yeah. I mean, when they first come out, there's a massive demand for those. And obviously Kenneth Walker's stock's a little bit down at the moment. So I think that's, you know, two for one as far as causation goes. Let me link you a final listing that ended. Let me see when this thing ended.
Link me. Here's a Kenneth Walker XRC PSA 10 that sold for 64 days ago.
Look at the one I just sent you right now. I sent you a completed listing for another Kenneth Walker. But
nice. Let's look at where the Breece ones are going to
go for way more. But I think more than anything, it's the Kenneth Walker market.
But Kenneth Walker's super easy to compare. You just compare him right to Breece Hall, right?
Yeah.
No, if he's much lower, I like to play. I like to play. Even though Breece Hall, we'll look at the Jets. I think the Jets actually are one of my teams on the top 10. Here is 1 out of 10. Currently sold out. It's a gold XRC out of 10. It's not showing me what it sold for.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it sold for $321.
Okay. Yeah, that gold is fire. So people are still buying them. Here's a buy it now, the Breece PSA 9 for $30, May 8th. But once again, that's pretty low, Steve. Pretty low. You have a 9 that sold here for $45. So from May 8th, the same exact card went from 28 to 45. That's a pretty big difference. This guy sold himself short. I imagine this Olsen 605 cards, you guys may want to keep your eye on him, because he's obviously doesn't realize what he's got if he's taking $28 for his Breece Hall XRC PSA 9. He might have some other deals that pop up or already on his store, right?
Yeah, no, I dig it. XRCs, I think, from the guys I talked to in the Discord, they like these cards too. And actually one that I've been not necessarily looking for, but keeps coming across my screen. And that's a guy that you talked about earlier, Kyler Murray. And again, QB is a whole nother tier of value. And they're going to be way more expensive than the running backs are. But, again, sought after cards, both value well. And, As Andy pointed out, the Breeces are holding their value a bit more. He finished the season with over 500 yards in the last three games, where Kenneth Walker did not finish that way. So it is still the off season, Andy. So it is still buying time, but Once those guys put a couple campaigns together, it's a whole different situation.
Yeah, it really is. It totally changes, man. It totally changes. I'll give you a hot take here, Steve. I think there's maybe pretty obvious, probably you. I mean, it's your team, man. But Chicago here gets a really nice start. Tennessee at Chicago. And then Chicago here at Houston, Sunday Night Football, primetime game against CJ Stroud. And then in week three, Chicago at Indianapolis, a 1 o'clock game. Division matchup. That's Houston and Indianapolis. But Chicago at Indianapolis, week three. So your Chicago Bears, depending on how this start, I mean, there could be quite a bit of excitement and buzz around this weapon core you guys have got in Caleb Williams.
Yeah, no, I mean, that looks pretty nice, honestly. Obviously, Houston being the roadblock to going 3-0 most likely. But, you know, no team is not beatable. And if Caleb is what everyone thinks he is, obviously we've got the weapons to help him out. So you could only imagine what that would do for any Bears players, let alone Caleb Williams cards.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting. Like, I'm almost like thinking, man, Caleb Williams and the Bears might actually make the playoffs this year. Because overall, if looking at strengths of schedule, they're up there in the top five for having like one of the easiest schedules just in totality for the whole season. So, with this core of weapons he's got, this could be quite good for Caleb Williams. Almost worth it to have some of those tops now instance, even if they don't have like Bears logo and they are printed quite heavily. They still could be end up being worth anywhere from like $30 to $50, you know, if he pops off here in the beginning of the season. So that's super, super interesting just because he is a rookie and that market is huge. You guys have struggled just historically with quarterback talent, and you guys have never really had a true, you know, face of the league type franchise quarterback, a guy like Caleb Williams that is borderline generational outside of structure, outside of the pocket, kind of like Patrick Mahomes, man. So people want to see what Caleb Williams is capable of. And he's got the weapons. There's no excuses.
Yeah. And I've seen other people post, if Caleb only does this, he'll be the single season record breaker for Bears QBs. So you could imagine Andy with having to do something so mediocre to become the single season leader for the Bears. You could see why our expectations are so negatively skewed anytime a new QB comes to town here. So obviously we hope for the best. But we're going to be cautiously optimistic.
All right, Steve, the Bengals. My next one is the Bengals here hosting New England at home week one, then at Kansas City in week two. There's one guy that's got Patrick Mahomes' number. It's Joe Burrow.
Yes,
Joe Burrow at Kansas City week two. And then at home, they're hosting Jaden Daniels, number two overall pick in the Washington Commanders in week three on Monday Night Football. So we've got a 2-0, like, can you imagine how much hype there would be for the Bengals if they do win week one and then knock off KC in week two in what's a 4 o'clock game? So there's only three games going at that time. A lot of people watching that game specifically, because Kansas City is heavily televised around the country at this point. They've got more marquee games this season than any other team. They're being broadcasted on more mainstream television channels than arguably any other team. They're getting up there with the Dallas Cowboys. And if the Bengals beat them, man, they go week two. They're coming into week three against a rookie quarterback on Monday Night Football with all this hype. That's pretty exciting. I know Joe Burrow cards are pretty expensive, Steve. I've actually recently bought myself a Jake Browning, talked about how he was my number one sleeper backup quarterback right now in the NFL to invest in. I'm sticking by that. And now that I've seen this opening schedule, I think he makes him even a better handcuff if something happens to Joe Burrow in training camp or preseason, man. I think it's a fantastic opportunity, but obviously got to get some exposure to Burrow and his weapons as well.
I think regardless of who the Bengals play, they're always capable of winning, but the week three one is especially interesting. So let's come up with a hypothetical that they do win the first two games and then they go into Washington. If you remember Washington last year, I mean, the worst defense in the league, right? Now, I do realize they went out and signed like 40 or 50 free agents this year and have an entirely new team, but that may or may not be enough to stop the Joe Burrow onslaught. So here, if they start 2-0 and he drops 500 yards on Washington, since they were in the Super Bowl, there may not be a larger hype cycle for Burrow than if that were to happen.
Yeah, and I would just, man, you know, right now is an interesting time period because we've got NBA playoffs going on. So even when I look at Joe Burrow's rookie cards, you know, I've got to think that, you know, the true silver's raw at $325, but the black silver prism raw $110. Do you think that there's opportunity? Because the latest sold data I've seen on his optic hollow raw is $200, that the black prism silver has a chance to get up into that $200 optic hollow range.
The prism black silver is at what did you say? 110?
110, yeah.
Wow, that's actually much lower than I would have thought. I like that. I did when they were in the Super Bowl, I did sell a lot of Burrows and a lot of prism black base and silver. In fact, you know, I think Burrow's the kind of QB, and I've been talking him up since we started doing this, Andy, that maybe he doesn't get the credit he deserves. I think he's a generational QB. You know, he doesn't have the Lamar Jackson speed or any other wild physical intangibles, but he's got, you know, the coldest demeanor, ice in his veins. He just finds a way to win. He is athletic. I know he did face some injuries last year, but this is a guy that is probably going to be in the league and be exceptional for a really long time. And I think that that will only cause his cards to, over time, become unattainable in the same way that Patrick Mahomes' cards are. So I do think it is a good buy.
Yeah, man, they're like, look, this is an optic hollow from today, 167. I actually just found a couple prism blacks that sold for right at 100 and right under 100. So it's like, man, that's a big difference there. And prism black is definitely, in my eyes, preferential to a select silver. There's your XRC for Burrow and PSA 9 sold for $480 yesterday. Wow. See, well, okay, that was a 9. This is a 10 for the field level silver 10. Dude, silver those, 501.
Those hold value real hard, man, because the people buying those haven't been completely turned off by select, because that's still when select was hobby only. So people are still in tune with the scarcity of those.
Well, 2020 is when they took them retail, right?
Yeah, I think that's before everyone kind of turned their back. But if you look at the 2021 field levels, Andy.
Yeah, so 2020, they took it retail. But since then, the values have come down on field level silvers. Like, I mean, and maybe this is more applicable to 2018, 2019 skill position players. But all the guys I've been looking at, all their field level silvers are down big time, even though the rest of their cards are still up quite a bit. Like Josh Jacobs, Saquon Barkley, you know, looking at Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, you know, so their field level silvers. And if you go to like look at Jalen Hurts field level silvers, man, they've come down a lot. So if it's like, I feel like it's a card that's falling faster than others because it's lost demand because the brand has been tarnished.
And as new people get in to the hobby, they may not see those older field level silvers with the same scarcity, they may not know, Andy, that they were much more difficult to come by at that time than they are now.
Yeah. None of these cards have anything on the true silver, though. True silver, 250, PSA 8. That's worse than raw. Could have probably sold this card for 350 if you just had it raw, you know? So
true.
I mean, that's a $400 card for CJ Stroud. It's a $400 card for CJ Stroud.
What would you take in hand if you could have either one?
Between which one?
The Burrow and Stroud.
Oh,
assuming they're both centered and not graded, and they're both just in.
Yeah, man, that's tough. That's a really tough question, dude. Right now, I got to go CJ Stroud.
I think if you're looking this, I mean, they're probably two of the hottest QBs that exist in the moment, but I think there's Stroud is going to probably be the main guy at the National people are buying, kind of like how Fields was last year. But, you know, in some ways that does cause manufactured hype, which can, if you're buying them, if you're on the buying end of it right now, you may be overpaying.
They've just thrown the kitchen sink at this team to get to a championship with Stroud on a rookie deal, and they already did close last year. I just with everything that they've done to this team in the offseason and retained everything else, I just don't see how this team doesn't make the playoffs, and CJ Stroud just doesn't have the same injury history as Joe Burrow. So, and he's younger. And so from those factors, if it was like a $400, you know, silver prism, both in the same condition, they both look great, and I had to pick between CJ Stroud and Joe Burrow right now, I think I'm going to go with Stroud.
Do you think there's any recency bias there? Relevant question. Well, yeah, there is. I feel like a lot of people are probably making the same decision in their mind right now, right? Because Stroud had that rookie campaign last year. Burrow, on the other hand, finished the season hurt. Okay. So I think that Burrow's value, though it really didn't dip that much, it might actually be the one that's being suppressed.
Yeah. Yeah. It's incredible how well he has retained his value. And because he's, you know, he's been showing to be healthy now. So I guess, you know, that's there is definitely some recency bias there, Steve. I have to have recency bias there, I feel. But definitely, yeah.
I got to say what's up to Kevin in the chat, who is aware of my fantasy pitcher injury history the past couple weeks. So fantasy baseball, I've been getting – my pitchers have been getting weekly trips to the injured list here. So shout out to anyone else struggling in fantasy baseball this season.
So we're fading the Cardinals. We like the Seahawks. I'm also fading the Falcons. The Falcons, this opening schedule looks pretty brutal for them. They get to host Pittsburgh, which isn't too bad, I guess. But then they also have to go and play at Philadelphia on Monday Night Football in week two. And then in week three, they host Kansas City. So this could be a slow – and it's another primetime game. It could swing wildly either way. You know, Atlanta, well, I haven't seen anything. Like, I need to see more Kirk Cousins footage of him clearly healthy. I know he's throwing the ball, but I haven't really seen him moving around a whole lot. So that situation's interesting, man. That one's definitely got to be closely monitored. They got great offensive line and weapons, and his defense was scrappy. So there's a team that can make some noise, but that's a tough schedule, man. Are you fading them?
I'm actually not fading them. The only reason they sucked was the QB play last year. They're actually a pretty damn good defense, and they're pretty young on defense, so they're only going to get better, I think. Plus, I mean, shout out Darnell Mooney as the wide receiver too. They did not go and draft a receiver. I actually think that they're going to surprise a lot of people here. I don't necessarily think that they come out swinging and beat KC, but I don't think that there's a team out there that they're going to be afraid to play.
Yeah, so it could go either way. And look, two out of the first 3 weeks are prime time. So, and Steelers have a massive market. So, you know, a lot of people watch that game as well. And, very, very interesting. Steve?
Yes, sir.
What do you think about the Giants here? The Giants early on. Minnesota comes to town week one. They go to at Washington. And then New England hosting New England in week three on Thursday Night Football.
That's they're all playing top five picks in this year's draft, all involved in those games there.
Is there
that's a pretty interesting one. They could be 3-0 or 0-3 based on that. No, I think that Minnesota definitely wins week one, but the other two games could easily go either way.
So, rookie, J.J. McCarthy, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May.
I'm saying 1-2. I'm saying 1-2.
So yeah, 1-2 is. I mean, and that's a fade. That's a fade for Daniel Jones, but that could lead to a starting job for Drew Lock. And Drew. I really like the play because he's so cheap. They drafted crazy rookie talent, Malik Nabers. And, you know, we could talk about Tyrone Tracy a little bit in the best ball draft we're going to do coming up at 10 p.m. Eastern when this stream is finished. We'll be doing a live best ball draft and talking weeks 15 through 17. But that could be the straw that breaks the camel's back, Steve, and that gets Drew Lock to start heading into week four. And which would cause a significant spike because Drew Lock's cards are insanely cheap. I mean, cheaper than Josh Jacobs as a running back, you know. But we're talking dirt basement bottom floor prices for Drew Lock.
I don't even think that even if they start 1-2, I don't think it may be on the heels of Daniel Jones playing bad. They're just maybe not in the class of these other teams yet. Definitely not Minnesota. But we talked about Washington earlier. I just assume, again, they're going to be pretty rough on defense. And that could actually be a little bit of a spike for any Giants players, to be quite honest with you. Going into week three, they could have a lot of steam coming out of a high-scoring game, whether they win or lose.
Mm. Yeah, and ultimately, I like the primetime slot here. So I'm looking at week three. I'm looking at these primetime slots thinking, all right, which of these teams and these four matchups, these primetime matchups in week three are coming in maybe 2-0? Because that is ultimately, guys, I want to target. Coming in 2-0 into an island game is where we see the best auctions go down. We see the top prices being spent on these players' rookie cards, and we can stack and make some really good plays here. And so we talked about the Bengals. We talked about how volatile this KC schedule is, or the Atlanta schedule and how they could come in here. KC is a target every week, Steve. I mean, you just target them every week because, I mean, that's how, you know, close people follow that team. New York here Thursday night. Do you feel like, well, New England plays at Cincinnati week one, man. That's just such a tough matchup if Cincinnati's healthy there that I don't see Drake May's going to have to unveil his best Josh Allen impersonation you know, keep up with Cincinnati there in week one. So I just don't see New England making the noise. I like the rookies, though, for New England. Like, I like Javon Baker and Jalen Polk. Both of them as rookies making some noise because that rest of the wide receiver room is a bunch of dust balls or busts. So, you know, there's got to be somebody there that steps up. Rookies don't have to do much.
We'll catch one touchdown.
Yeah.
That's it. You catch one touchdown week one, you're the next Randy Moss as far as the hobby's concerned. So, sad but true. But
we've all been
victims of the Kenbrell Tompkins effect. And you know, Derek knows who that is. So he one time caught like three touchdowns in a preseason game for the Patriots, and everyone just thought he was the next Randy Moss. So, yeah, obviously temper your expectations, but yeah, it'll happen. You get a guy that comes out as you know, a new starter or as a rookie in the league and shows you just the slightest bit, and that's where the hype spike is. And that's why people buy and sell rookies at a higher clip than veterans.
Yes. And that's why most of my focus when it comes to this time of the year is like buying rookies that I can flip in preseason, the beginning of the season. So basically, based on draft capital, I think it's safe to buy any first, second, third round. If they went to the NFLPA event, look at it. Last year, Deuce Vaughn broke out. You know, Dorian Thompson-Robinson broke out in preseason. Aiden O'Connell broke out in preseason. And the list goes on, you know. And they all had – the guys that were already locked into starting roles already had high prices. They were being bought like hotcakes for premiums and as college uniform cards. And the cards that come out between now and then just go up in value based on scarcity. And if you've got those pro denominator, common denominators.
Yeah. I think there's, I mean,
there's so liquid.
The ones we covered, there's surprisingly Houston is technically one that could also start 3-0 if they beat Indy, which is highly probable. If they manage to beat the Bears at home, which is very possible. Then they play Minnesota at Minnesota, which, you know, Minnesota is still a good team. So, but a lot of people are anticipating them taking a step back without Kirk Cousins, which may or may not be the case. But I think on a surface level, they could easily start 3-0.
They can, absolutely. A team that I'm fading, though, Steve, that I think there's no way in heck they start 3-0. And their offensive line has taken a step backwards, and there's a ton of ambiguity around how good this O-line is going to be. Or the defense was really good, but Baltimore, Steve, Baltimore here opening the season on Thursday Night Football at Kansas City, and then they choked against in the playoffs last year. And then you have Vegas going to Baltimore. So what if they don't start off hot here against Kansas City, lose confidence right out of the gate. Vegas comes in. Vegas is an interesting team, man. I think Vegas has got some sneaky upside this year. This Vegas Chargers game week one is probably going to be a shootout. This Vegas team comes in. Man, they give them a run for their money. Probably Baltimore wins that, but then they go to Dallas in week three. In Dallas during the season last year, I think Dallas almost won every single one of their home games, you know, and they've just been building in the trenches. Dallas is going to be a super tough matchup. And I just don't see any way that Baltimore comes out of these first three games unscathed. They got to have at least one loss. I think Lamar is like a mid-season bye for the playoffs next year.
All right.
What say you, Steve?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I mean, having to play the first game of the season against the Chiefs is kind of like walking into the bandsaw a little bit. So I agree. I think Vegas should be interesting too. And I mean, they're another team that only got better as the season went on. And I think it's going to come down to quarterback competency more than anything else.
The Jets got all these primetime games this year. The first 3 weeks aren't bad for them. Besides the San Francisco Monday Night Football, like that's diabolical right there, but I love it. That's like, you know, great job by the NFL schedule makers on that. New York, put them right back into the fire week one, man. Conquer your demons, Rodgers. Come on, brother. You know, let's see what happens. This is going to be entertaining as heck. You know, so many people are, I mean, this, besides the Thursday night game and the Friday, I don't know. I can only imagine that this Monday night game could be the most televised game of the week. It's going to be close, though, because these are big matchups Thursday and Friday night, maybe even Sunday night. But I got to think that by Monday night, Rodgers back on Monday Night Football where he tore his Achilles a year ago, and then going to San Francisco against that ferocious that ferocious defense, man. So let's see. Let's see if that New York Jets O-line can hold up. Let's see if Rodgers can hold up. Let's see what they're made of at all week one. But if they come out good, they come out swinging, they go to Tennessee in week two, and then in week three, they go to Cleveland. I think, you know, those next two matchups, Cleveland's actually a pretty tough matchup in Cleveland.
Yeah. My big thing with them is, obviously, we know the defense is good. We know the run game is good. In fact, the run game is maybe one of the best in the league. And you could say it's because of the line or because they have behind the in the backfield. That's not really the point of the debate here. But Deshaun Watson, we don't even know who this guy is. I've been saying for 2 years I'm fading him into obscurity until I see him do anything relevant. And Andy, he hasn't. He hasn't done anything. I mean, he's looked like less than the shell of his former self. And I don't even know what to make of that team. So I honestly think that that could be an early fade for me. While you're talking Jets playing Cleveland week three. Cleveland could be a fade, in my opinion.
Yeah, they get Dallas at home week one, Jacksonville week two. Cleveland, yeah, it's definitely kind of a fade for me too. I don't even know which one of these wide receivers I want to target besides Amari Cooper, and he's a veteran, like serious veteran. Yeah, this whole thing, like I look at the Cleveland depth chart at this point, I'm like, I might buy a Jameis Winston. I might buy a couple Jameis Winston cards.
I like that.
Because I think that could least, you know, he's got a hotbed of truth. Got some scarcity with 2015 rookie cards. He's a former number one overall draft pick. He's got the hype from college and everything. So, yeah, I think Jameis Winston, people know he's just going to let it rip. And you're going to get some flashes of brilliance mixed with a bunch of interceptions. And that's just going to be what it is. But
the man had LASIK surgery. He'll be fine.
He could get a start for Cleveland in week three and throw four touchdowns and no interceptions. But the next week, oh yeah, that's right. He got LASIK, man. So he's going to be on fire.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that if week one doesn't go well, at Dallas, you could see an injury happen and maybe he's out there again and slinging it. Who knows?
Oh man. That's what I love about being 100% dedicated to football cards research and selling tips, Steve. We get to really nerd out and dig in to stuff like this. Other guys trying to cover all these sports, they don't have time to dig into stuff like this. But that's what nooffseason.com has got us for. Paul Hickey and Sports Card Strategy, they do a great job of analyzing all sports. But because of that, they rely on us to do the deep digging on just NFL and football cards. So,
heck yeah. I know you did a multi-quarterback tier list for backups. I would have to have him as one of my tops, if not the top, in my opinion. I mean, they have an incredible O-line. They have a soon-to-be, hopefully healthy Nick Chubb. They have one of the best receivers of the last, 5 to 10 years in Amari Cooper. If he gets the chance to chuck it, man, he'll be great for fantasy and great for a nice spike in the hobby as well.
Are there any other teams here that jump out at you for these first 3 weeks?
Yeah, not particularly. They're all just kind of middle of the road, not really jumping off the paper at me.
So if you look in totality for the total season, the New Orleans Saints have the easiest strength of schedule. They're tied for the easiest strength of schedule this year, and they play 9 games against team that finished under 500 in 2023. That's kind of the common denominator there for these easy schedules. They just go based on the schedules from last year.
Hey, and they did finish pretty strong overall. And I think that honestly, they will have a good season. I think that the Saints have a good season. And I think Carr maybe doesn't put up like top five type numbers because he's not able to run the ball. But passing yardage alone, I think that he actually has one of his best seasons to date.
Wow. That's a bold take, man. Definitely had Spencer Rattler on my list because of the fact that Carr, he's not like spectacular. He's consistent and he does throw a decent amount. I think they're going to have to continue to throw a decent amount. Like I wrote up Rashid Shaheed because he's got very few rookie cards and he's consistently their number two and put up over 1,000 air yards last year. But the locker room, Steve, from what I hear, doesn't really like Carr. They're not really bought into him. You talk to Carter and a lot of the other diehard New Orleans fans out there, they're not bought into Carr either. So it's almost like he doesn't have a lot of truthers and fans to back him. He doesn't have rookie cards in Saints uniforms. So I'm kind of like fading Carr at his current price and like kind of placing a bet that maybe he gets hurt and like this cat Jack Hayner or Spencer Rattler gets a start and that could be some pretty serious hype there.
Yeah, the problem is that a Rattler card is going to be incredibly expensive by comparison. You know, Carr, there's some Carr autos and rookie cards that are expensive, but not a ton, right? I'm not saying go out and get Carr rookies per se, but from a fantasy perspective, his play impacts a lot of things, including your receivers, Kamara, any other people on the team that are catching passes from him. All you got to do is go back to the last 3-4 weeks of the season where he was just chucking it and putting up tons of touchdowns. So I think that only continues to start the year. And whether you like the guy or not, the production was there. And I think that they may have found a little chemistry finally.
Well, Steve, if they start off 3-0, their values are going to go up. And that is the message that we want to get across tonight. We hope you guys enjoyed our breakdown, our top 10 takeaways, our favorite teams that we think are going to get off to a hot start, some teams that we're going to fade. Obviously, we're going to continue to analyze the schedule. But for now, Steve, it's time to sign off here and sign on to our live draft on Underdog Fantasy, where we're going to chop up weeks 15 through 17 schedule and draft a best ball team post-draft. Guys, hop in there with us, man. There's so much fun because we bounce back and forth between the draft and the card market. And there's no waiver wire, like roster management throughout the season. It's just all about the draft. You draft a big team and optimize it. Maybe you win a bunch of money at the end of the season, Steve. And then you could grade your cards with cgccards.com. If you want to do a bulk submission with them, get your cards back before the season or whenever. And we have great turnaround times with them right now. My man, Mr. T, just told me he got his cards back in less than 10 business days on a bulk submission. That's impressive, man.
That's hard to beat. And, you know, we're about to hop into this draft and if you haven't done one before, you can either watch and check it out or just hop in with us. It's low leverage. We typically get in like the $5 ones while they're open. And it's a good learning experience. It's fun. You know, we enjoy doing it. So whether you've done 100 of them or it's your first one, come check it out. We'll try to get as many people in the same one as we can.
Yes, sir. We're going to hop over there now. Appreciate you guys. Make sure you subscribe, like, and leave us a comment. Let us know your favorite matchups you're looking forward to here in weeks 1 through 3. We'll see you in the live draft stream. Peace.